Good morning. Welcome to Melville. It is good to be together to worship God this morning. A couple of announcements as we gather for worship. A reminder that we are welcoming people to come and join us to worship in person. Zoom continues to be an option for those who would prefer to worship that way. And just a reminder to please bring a mask with you when you do come, and also to pay close attention to your own health so that we are not putting anyone else's health at risk as we enjoy being able to be together once again. Holy Week is very quickly approaching. Palm Sunday is next Sunday, and a reminder to all of our families with young children, if you would like to join us for our We Worship gathering, our Palm Sunday celebration, we'll be gathering here at the church, outside weather permitting, in the sanctuary, otherwise at 4 o'clock on Saturday, this coming Saturday. So please let me know if you haven't already whether or not we can expect you so that we can plan dinner. And we are looking forward to that opportunity to be together. Next Sunday, we are also celebrating the baptism of Everly Vare, and we are very much looking forward to welcoming their family as they bring their youngest child to the waters of baptism. This is a long-awaited baptism. Everly was born just before the very first lockdown, and so we're looking forward to being able to celebrate that special day with them. Through Holy Week, we've got a number of things happening, and the first is there's going to be an online option for Stations of the Cross, and if you're familiar with Stations of the Cross, they're a combination of readings and reflections, scripture, and guided meditations to help you reflect on the events of Holy Week. I will be distributing this week by email Stations of the Cross workbooks, which basically have the readings as well as the reflections in them and places to make notes as you wish. Those will be getting emailed out so that you can print them. If you need me to print them for you, I'm more than happy to do that. You just need to let me know, and I can do that. If you're with us in worship today, I can print them for you before you go. That's also not a problem. During Holy Week, what you're going to be receiving, if you receive things by email, are links to YouTube videos, which will feature different members of the congregation reading the reflections, as well as some visuals to help guide your reflection, and then prompts. So there will be 2 to 4 videos a day through Holy Week that will guide your reflections. And so we encourage you to make use of that resource in a way that is meaningful for you. And they'll all be logged on YouTube. So if you miss a day, you can always go back and find what you've been missing. So don't worry if you lose track of something along the way. Our Bible study continues this week following worship at 11:30. You can join me in the White Lounge. You can join us on Zoom. It is up to you. And a reminder that we are engaging in a joint Bible study opportunity only on Zoom with Grace Anglican Church, working jointly with Graham to do a bit of reflection and conversation to combine our 2 smaller Bible study evening groups. That's Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Graham is leading this week. I'll be leading next week. And we invite you to join us for that. It is a different Zoom link. If you don't have the Zoom link, let me know and I will send it to you because we're using his Zoom account, not mine. I think that those are all of the announcements. Keep an eye on your emails and on your mailboxes. As we continue to reopen and as we continue to keep an eye on what's going on in our community and what the health units are asking of us. We will continue to keep you informed as the session continues to prayerfully discern next steps as we move hopefully ever closer to being all together once again. Let's join together in our call to worship.
Call to worship. During Lent, we remember that God is revealed in surprising ways and at unexpected times. All things are under the sovereign care of God's goodness. None of us ever imagines that God goes to such lengths to show us the height, depth, and breadth of God's love. Christ was even willing to give up his life for us. Let us pray. Surprising God, you constantly come to us in ways that surprise us and redeem all things. Help us to recognize your guiding and comforting presence as we seek to follow you in our journey to understand the meaning of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. God of grace, you pour out your mercy with abundance and your grace with boundless generosity. You are living water, the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of all life. We come to you today with grateful hearts as we anticipate the return of spring, longer days, the sun's warmth growing stronger. We praise you for your creation and its reliable rhythms. We praise you, too, for Christ and his ministry that we seek to continue. We seek the light of the hope he offers. Break into these days of turmoil and uncertainty with the mercy and grace we meet in Jesus. We praise you, O God, and offer you all glory and honor. Make us ever more faithful and ever more grateful as we strive to give to others in the same measure you give to us. Almighty God, you have set before us the path, but we have wandered on our own to try to find our way. Sometimes we are like toddlers and we hear your call and come back. Other times we are children testing boundaries, ignoring your call until fear finally makes us look back. And still other times we are full of youthful rebellion, demanding to be cut loose and set free. Too often we think we are adults, not knowing how much we still need to seek your wisdom and guidance. But most of all, too often we think we are adults and have figured it all out and know our own way, only to stumble and stray so far. Remind us, gentle parent, that we are always your children, that we are never fully grown in your sight, that we always have much to learn. Help us to seek you every day, to acknowledge that we need your wisdom and guidance, and help us to return to the path and walk with you. In the name of Christ, who is our companion on this journey of faith, we pray. Amen. Children of God, hear the good news. By faith, we have been saved, our guilty hearts washed clean, refreshed, revived, and renewed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Live as ones who are forgiven and freed. Truly, I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today, as we reflect on our gifts and on the ways that we are called to offer them in return, I invite Steve to come and share with us.
Morning, everyone. The Presbyterian Church in Canada has put together a presentation to thank you all for your gifts and blessings for Presbyterian sharing. There's a little excerpt in here, so I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. One of the lines in the video there is, it's taken from Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So together we can do wonders as providence moves when we all get together. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for your contributions, your blessings. We over-contributed, if you will. We had a $14,000 budget line for Presbyterian sharing last year. We ended up over $15,000. So let us continue to discern God's will as we do his will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
think we get so used to some of the somber mood of our Lenten hymns that it's always nice to have a bit of energy in our worship as we remember that Easter is indeed coming closer. And in fact, our scripture lesson today really reminds us about this this urgency and the importance of what is about to happen as we tell the Easter story again and again and again. I brought a couple of things with me today. Where are they? One, two, three. So today's Bible story happens in a home. And I know that we haven't had a whole lot of big family get-togethers during the past 2 years, but hopefully some of you have had the opportunity to at least share a meal or two with friends and loved ones. And I want you to think about the mood that came with that first meal together. Not the first meal where you were sharing space, but we're sitting, you know, 10 feet apart on lawn chairs, but the first meal where you were actually together at a table, whether it was for Christmas or an anniversary or New Year's, even if it was just with one other family or one friend that you met for coffee, that sense of joy at being together again. I think that that's, or I hope that's a feeling that most of us can understand after this time apart. And if you haven't had an opportunity yet, I would love to go out for lunch with you. So give me a call. There's a joy in being together. Today's Bible story is a family who is together after a miracle. Their brother Lazarus died, and Jesus brought him back to life. This is an opportunity for them to be together in a way they never thought they were going to be together again. So imagine how happy and excited everybody is. And this is the dinner that they are having to say thank you to Jesus. Now, there are lots of different ways that we can say thank you. Who here has ever gotten a thank you gift? Does it ever like snowball into the, I have to thank you for the thank you gift that you sent me? You know, it kind of becomes this returning thing, right? We get a little bit obsessive about saying thank you to people, and you never know quite where to stop. In today's story, from the Gospel of John, all the Gospel writers tell the story. They all tell it a little bit differently, but today we're reading from John's Gospel, and it's Lazarus, and it's Mary and Martha, and Mary wants to thank Jesus. And we're also getting closer to Passover and closer to the time when Jesus died on the cross. And so Mary takes a bottle of perfume. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a bottle of perfume, but when I was a little girl, I remember distinctly the bottle of perfume. My mom wasn't a big perfume wearer, but she always had one small bottle on her dresser and like, don't touch it, right? You don't go near it. And it was about this big. And I don't know, maybe I don't even know how many she had in my whole life, but you just don't need that much, right? And they're little bottles. This is a bottle that I have, and I've had for, gosh, I don't even know how long, of frankincense and myrrh. I didn't have nard, which is what's in the story. And Graham and I both use this bottle, if you can believe it. Graham and I have both been doing pastoral visiting for just under 10 years. And we've only used this much of this oil in all that time. When we go to the hospital, when we go to someone's home, we anoint them with oil and remind them of God's blessing. You don't need very much. So it makes sense in a way that Mary uses perfume and oil because this is a thing of value to thank Jesus. But what she does, and this is for my friends, the kids, Mary doesn't use a little tiny bottle like this. Mary uses a bottle the size of a pop can. So think about a can of Sprite, can of Coke, whatever your favorite pop is. That's the volume of oil we're talking about. She takes it, she takes the lid off, and she dumps it all over Jesus' feet. Not just a little bit. She empties the whole thing. It's a lot of perfume. And it is so valuable that you would have to work for an entire year to pay for it. An entire year before you've paid your rent, before you've bought your groceries, before you've paid your daycare fees, a whole year in a can of perfume. And just as a reminder to us about how far this type of oil goes, I'm not going to open this one because some of us are a little bit sensitive to scents. And you'll notice in our scripture passage that it talks about how the smell of it filled the whole room. The smell of this would be smelling all afternoon too. But I brought a different oil. This is argan oil, so it doesn't smell quite as much. And if I just put a little bit on here, like, look how far it goes. It just keeps spreading all over. You don't need that much. And now it's soaking into my paper towel, but I could put it on my hand. I could probably go all the way up my arm and down the other arm with just that one little drop that I put on. And now everything is going to be covered in oil for the rest of the day. So Mary didn't need to use that much if what she wanted to do was just anoint Jesus's feet. And I want you to remember that as we hear today's scripture lesson, and as we think about saying thank you, as Steve introduced, and the many ways that we want to say thank you. And then I want you to think about Mary with that giant bottle of perfume, so expensive most of us couldn't even imagine spending that much money on something, and then pouring it away. That's how Mary chooses to say thank you. The other thing that is really important to remember as we look forward to Holy Week is that oils were used to anoint kings, but it wasn't on their feet. It was on their heads. Oil was used to anoint kings on their heads, but perfumed oil was also used on the dead, preparing their bodies for burial, which is what Mary is also doing for Jesus. Let's pray as we come to hear God's word. Speak to us, O Lord, your saving word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand. Help us to experience your presence with all of our senses. Fill us and feed us with the bread of life. Amen. Liz is going to share with us God's word this morning.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who later came to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among us, but you will not always have me. The word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So Several years ago, the long-running sitcom Big Bang Theory aired an episode in which Sheldon, a somewhat eccentric genius, explains his dislike of Christmas gifts, or as he calls them, obligations. To their next door neighbor, Penny, he argues that they implicitly require reciprocation with something of equal value. Knowing that she's gotten him a gift, Sheldon reluctantly goes to the mall to purchase something for Penny. Needless to say, his shopping trip does not go well. His friends suggest a gift basket, which immediately sends him into a downward spiral, wondering, what size of gift basket do I purchase? What does this gift basket say when I give it to you? In the end, he purchases multiple gift box baskets of differing sizes so that he can choose the appropriate one to give her once he's opened her gift to him. The episode concludes with Penny presenting Sheldon with a dirty napkin, which, when turned over, was autographed by Leonard Nimoy to Sheldon, "Live long and prosper." At first, Sheldon is speechless, and Penny apologizes that it is dirty because Nimoy had wiped his mouth on it before signing it. Completely overwhelmed and emotional, the usually germophobic Sheldon then exclaims excitedly that he now has Leonard Nimoy's DNA and quickly runs off to his room. He returns, arms overflowing with all of the gift baskets that he had purchased, dumps them at Penny's feet, and she is surprised and overwhelmed, and he says, "I know, it's not enough," before offering something he rarely gives anyone, a hug. What do you give in response to the perfect gift? What do you give in response to a gift that you didn't even know that you needed? What would be enough? That's one of the questions at the heart of today's gospel reading. How do you say thank you for resurrection? We're still a week away from Holy Week, but this is where it all starts, at the home of Lazarus, friend of Jesus, brother to Mary and Martha, the home of a man who was very recently very dead. Long story short, Jesus returns to Bethany, which is a small town just outside of Jerusalem. And after receiving news that his friend Lazarus is very sick, he heads back there. And when he arrives, Lazarus is not only dead, but dead and buried, which is not surprising given that Jewish culture requires immediate burial, and Jesus is 4 days late. Religious requirements notwithstanding, the climate of the day and the lack of embalming made immediate burial a practical necessity. Perfume and spices as well to mask the odor of decomposition. So Jesus goes to the tomb, but instead of grieving, he calls Lazarus to come out, which he does, still wearing his burial shroud. Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and you can read all about it in John chapter 11. There were many witnesses to this. Some believed, while others went straight to the Pharisees, as you do, who were unimpressed, as usual. And it is this event which initiates the plot on Jesus's life, sending him somewhat into hiding yet again. But now it's almost Passover, which is a really big deal. Preparations must be made. There are things that you have to do. The same instructions given to the people of Israel in Egypt must still be followed today. As with many religious observances, the preparation is as important, if not more important, than the celebration itself. Passover doesn't start at Passover, but days in advance, with the selection of the lamb, with the cleaning of the home, with the removal of all leavened products. And all of this has to be done before everything can get started. Jerusalem was the place to be during Passover, and anticipation was high that Jesus would be there with so many other faithful Jews. And so the Pharisees are plotting his arrest. And so it's into this highly charged, but also highly celebratory climate that 6 days before the Passover in John's gospel, around the same time as those lambs were being chosen and set apart, Jesus and his friends returned to the outskirts of Jerusalem, to the village of Bethany and the home of Lazarus. The sacrificial lamb is about to be anointed and set apart. In some rabbinic traditions, the Passover blood, thinking back to the Exodus, all those years ago in Egypt, which saved the lives of so many Israelite firstborns, was understood to be like Isaac's. You remember Isaac, Abraham's long-awaited son, who God ordered as a sacrifice, but then ultimately spared, providing a ram instead. Just as that was a story about life and death, this too is a story about life and death. Lazarus's, Jesus's, and ultimately our own. Life and death, or more accurately, life out of death. How do you begin to say thank you for something like that? You can't, but we try anyway, don't we? And Lazarus and his family wanted to. Jesus and his disciples have been graciously welcomed into a home to celebrate the unbelievable. This is a tangible way that the family can show their appreciation, not only to Jesus, but to everyone else as well. And they each do what they can. Martha serves, Lazarus welcomes, and Mary we'll get to in a minute. It's not as if there's a protocol for saying thanks for resurrection. But it was the custom to offer water for washing. Rabbinical teaching allowed for the addition of a few drops of perfumed oil, maybe on special occasions, into the water. On a practical level, the feet would have been dirty and dusty, covered in whatever the roads were covered in. But the Torah also prohibits wastefulness. So when Mary dispenses with the water altogether and breaks open a bottle of oil the size of a pop can and begins pouring it all over Jesus's feet, you might have been forgiven for wondering about the practical economics of the situation. Judas certainly did. Nard is an expensive oil then and now. It is imported from the Himalayas. It is not local fare. It was used for burial rites among the upper classes. It was found in notably large quantities in King Tut's tomb. This is what Mary uses on her Lord and Savior's feet. Where did Mary get that kind of money? Did the whole family go in on the purchase? Was this something that had been passed down from generation to generation, saving it for that occasion when that much might be needed? Surely they didn't have that much money that they could sit around on something of such great value. You have to wonder if they sold their belongings, or if they agreed to go without, or if the whole neighborhood came together. Can you imagine giving up an entire year's salary in order to say thank you? The first question anybody would naturally ask would be, how are you going to live for the next year? But nobody's asking Mary that question at the moment. But it is about life. Our immediate question about how are you going to live points towards how we see this action. It points certainly to how Judas sees this action. But it is all about life. Just days earlier, it wasn't the aroma of perfume filling the space, but the stench of death and loss and grief that hung heavy in the air. It serves as an important reminder to us that while death is always in the air, to die is part of what it means to be human. Because of Jesus' death, death will no longer have the final word. And how can we say thank you for life? With every fiber of our being, with everything that we have saved, with everything of value. On a rational level, we understand that this is a level of thanksgiving which cannot be achieved, no matter how hard we try. Like, it just can't be done. On an emotional level, we're familiar with the desire to overextend ourselves on the one hand, but to protect our bottom line on the other. On the other hand, on a very human level, there is a part of us that hears Judas's comments and says, well, wait a minute. Doesn't he have a point? A bottle of perfume for a pair of feet is extravagantly wasteful. That bottle could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. Absolutely. I mean, that's not what Judas wants to do. Very clear on that. But this is what we are told to do time and time again. This is what we are told Jesus taught the disciples. This is what we are told the early church did. They sold all their possessions and lived communally and gave to whoever had need. But Jesus calls everyone's attention back to the matter at hand. He says, "The poor will always be with you. You only have me a little while longer." Worship comes first. It must always come first. And Mary's worship is not just a token, word, or praise, or the bare minimum of offering gift. It is everything. Just as Jesus was about to give everything up on the cross. Jesus is the bottle. The bottle will not be held back to be kept and admired. This precious substance will not be saved. It will be open and used at great price, raised up and poured out for the life of the world, emptied to the very last drop. Why should our response be anything different? To the very last drop, Jesus is the one in whom death becomes life. The beautiful aroma of this offering continues to fall to the earth, blessing us and inviting us to participate in the life that he offers, just as Mary does. How do you even begin to say thank you for resurrection, for the very gift of life itself? How and what do we offer God in response and in praise? Beyond the not so subtle reminder that Judas is in this for personal gain, not out of any real sense of piety, we are reminded that Mary's offering does nothing to prevent her or anyone else from also serving the poor. In fact, in response to her generous act, it is even more likely that others will be drawn in, because unlike cynicism and criticism, beauty and gratitude have a way of spreading, much like joy and life. Beauty pervades, expands, spreads, and blesses, like the aroma of the perfume that she poured out on her Lord and Savior. The gift of beauty and joy and love go beyond the bounds of the initial event and recipients. They will each carry that home with them, just as each of us carry Jesus's love and life within us. There will always be those who are drawn away and distracted. Life may have defeated death, but that doesn't mean that death isn't going to try and get in there and disguise the fact that it can't even begin to challenge the God of life. That's kind of what Judas is doing when he complains about wasting the monetary value of the perfume. He wants to diffuse the power of the moment, to deflate the meaning of her worship, to invalidate it, to make Mary seem foolish or wasteful or bad. But what Judas, who values money more than Jesus, doesn't understand is that his comments only emphasize Mary's action. Never forget that in just a few days, Judas is going to sell Jesus for 25 times less than that perfume was worth. Judas values money more than he values Jesus. He values his own security more than what Jesus offers. Just as Jesus is not a valuable bottle to be put on the shelf and admired, but rather pours himself out to the very last drop, so it is with our lives of worship, service, and praise. In response to God's saving gift, we are called to take our lives, our whole lives, and make them a living sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Jesus' death and resurrection is the triumph of life over death, not only for himself, not only for Lazarus, but for all of creation. This isn't a time for moderation or moderate praise. Don't ever let anyone be like Judas and tell you that you love Jesus too much. This isn't a moment to save it for a rainy day, to set that love and life on a high shelf for people to admire but not experience. This doesn't ultimately have anything to do with the money. This could have been a single coin if giving it up would have represented that level of sacrifice and gratitude. You can't put a price tag on life, and it truly, if we did, would be a different number for each of us. The number doesn't exist. The only way to give thanks for resurrection is to live and love with every fiber of our being, everything that we are, to pour out our thanks and our praise as Mary poured it out on Jesus' feet, giving everything in the name of the one who gave everything. As we walk this last week of Lent, let us reflect on the amazing gift that we have been given and wonder at the ways that we are called to give back in life, in love, in joy, and in praise. Amen. Just before we turn our hearts to God in prayer, gathering the cares and concerns of our community and our world, it occurred to me that I only made it partway through Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday and the baptism and the Stations of the Cross. We move on Thursday to a Maundy-Thursday communion service. Watch your emails. The time will be announced so that it doesn't conflict with choir. But it is only going to be on Zoom. It's not going to be an in-person service. So by phone or by computer on Thursday evening of Holy Week, 2 weeks from now. Friday's service will be a hybrid service. So Zoom and in-person 10 a.m. Good Friday service. Easter Sunday will be a 6 a.m. sunrise service outside in the cemetery, only in-person. It will not be on Zoom. Our 10 a.m. worship service will be a hybrid service in person and on Zoom. That is the whole Holy Week schedule. It will be in your emails from here on out, so you can mark your calendars and set your alarms appropriately. Let us pray. O God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we come to you in prayer, trusting that you are with us in the ups and downs, the joys and sorrows of these challenging days. We give you thanks for every sign of your presence with us, for every unexpected kindness, every word of comfort or encouragement, every sign of courage in the face of injustice, every hopeful step towards reconciliation amid conflict, and healing in the face of disease or danger. Thank you for your presence with us in all things. In this unpredictable world, we pray for those whose lives are caught up in reckless terror or planned oppression, and for those living in places where they are afraid to walk freely. We remember all who find the uncertainty of our times overwhelming and discouraging. May those living in fear have courage to go on in your company. As the stories of Jesus turn us once again toward the cross, O God, we pray for those who also walk the road of suffering. We remember before you those whose lives have been plunged into sorrow or despair through tragic death, critical illness, chronic pain, unimaginable wait times, complex problems seeming without end, a lack of answers or certainty or plan. May all those who are sick in mind, body, and spirit know your comfort, your healing, and your compassion. Creator God, the stories of Jesus show us that he faced the clamor of many demands and the pressure of many critics. We pray for all of those who are exhausted in these days, who juggle more demands with fewer resources in their work or at home. For those who are filled with the weight of not seeming to get it right, no matter what they do. For those facing criticism and unreasonable expectations. For those who are overwhelmed by responsibilities that they bear on behalf of others. For those who have taken on more than they ought to have. For those who long for meaningful work and purpose. Lord, strengthen each by your spirit of justice and mercy. Lord, we continue to pray for a world full of conflict and violence and crisis, for those who are without home, for those who are struggling, for those who live in fear, for those who find themselves in the middle of a conflict not of their own making. Lord, we pray for wisdom and peace for world leaders. We pray that your wisdom might be heard. We pray for safety for all those involved. God, we acknowledge that we need your presence, each in our own way. Anoint us with your spirit of healing and hope. Bring peace to our lives and to this world which you love. For the sake of Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.